This is the Crosspoint Sermon Audio from Carrollton, Texas.
Great job, guys. Well, as I mentioned, I'm DNA Accelerator here. I realize some of you may not know what that means. If you have any questions about that, ask me later. It's too complicated to explain. But for those of you who don't know me, my wife, Kylie, who's back there at the soundboard, she and I are also illusionists. That means we travel around, we do shows for churches and youth groups and things like that. Sometimes we do corporate gigs and the improv. But every time I get up to speak in front of a group like this, people expect I'm going to do a trick. I wouldn't want to disappoint you. So I need to borrow some money. Who's got money? That's the trick. A $100 bill would be great. Anybody got 100? You got 100? Seriously, can I borrow it? Wow, I totally thought I'm going to have to ta-da! Excellent, I promise I won't put it in the offering. It's $100, man, I don't see these very often, that's awesome. There's more? Wait, holding back on us. Luther, tell you what, can you do me a favor, Bill, just remember the last few digits on your bill in case you should ever see this again. I mean, so when you see this again, you'll know. Money is funny, isn't it? We're all trying to hang on to it, and these days it's getting harder and harder. I'm going to show you guys, this is kind of a public service announcement, I'm going to show you how to tell if your money is real or fake. Yeah, it's true. What you do is you fold it up into a little package, and you get a lighter, and you hold it up to the bill, and you can kind of... All right, who's got a lighter? You got a lighter. The pastor's son has a lighter. Excellent. Of course he does. Of course. Ooh. Ooh, nice. You hold it up and you can kind of see. Whoa! It's his fault. Thanks. I'm going to hang on to this. Don't trust you. You know what happens when that happens? That was real. You could have spent that bad boy. It was worth something. Anybody have any other money I can borrow? No, they're not trusting me now. Actually, when that happens, what you do is you get another piece of paper and you take some of the ashes that fell to the ground, put it in the paper, you roll it up nice and tight just like this, you take this to the bank, you tell them exactly what happened, and they'll tell you what you can do with that. He's like, no, I'm kidding, of course. He's like, I don't like that. You do that, and there you go. There's your money. Back to one piece. There you go. Give him a round of applause. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. Well, we are in the middle of our At the Movie series. What's wrong? It's a $1. Thanks for the tip. Sorry, Bill, can't help you with that. We'll talk later. More ash. We are in the middle of our At the Movie series. Our pastor's on sabbatical, and we're looking at different movies and trying to cull some timeless truths from them. We've seen 17 again. We've seen Angels and Demons. We've seen The Soloist. Today, we're going to talk about Slumdog Millionaire. Now, how many of you have actually seen Slumdog Millionaire? Oh, good. Excellent. Perfect. It's a great movie. I loved it the first time I saw it. For those of you who haven't seen it, give you a little background on it. First of all, this movie has won 8 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Adapted Screenplay, won 5 Critics' Choice Awards, won 4 Golden Globes, and it did all of this on a budget of about $15 million. $15 million. And to date, it's grossed over $360 million. I mean, that's pretty good. So the question becomes, why is this movie such a hit? Why are people talking about it? I'm going to sit down. My wife tells me I pace when I stand up talking, so I'm going to sit down here and talk to you guys. I think it's important for us to figure out why this movie is important, and we're going to read the synopsis on the back of the cover of the DVD here. Jamal Malik is just one question away from winning a fortune on India's version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? But how has this uneducated young man from the slums succeeded in providing correct responses to questions that have stumped countless scholars before him? And will he ultimately win it all or lose everything, including his true love? Wow, that's exciting. Who doesn't want to go to the theaters and watch India's version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire up on the big screen for 2 hours? Right? Nancy, you couldn't watch it for 20 minutes. Well, obviously, that's not the real story in Slumdog Millionaire. The real story is how our main character, Jamal, passionately pursues the love of his life against all odds. And isn't that what excites us? I mean, think about it. We all get excited when we hear about somebody pursuing something passionately. In fact, so much so that Chase Bank right now has an ad campaign. It's called Chase What Matters. Maybe you guys have seen some of the ads, right? Here's the deal. Chase What Matters, they spent $70 million in the first quarter of this year alone to communicate the message that Chase is the bank that cares about what matters to you. That's what they did, $70 million to communicate that message. Now, business journalist Glenn Rifkin said Chase would be better suited to take that $70 million and to actually put it into something that matters, like ATMs, customer service, things like that. Well, obviously, it's not that simple, right? I mean, you have to communicate the message in such a way that it resonates with people, but you also have to do something about it. So whether or not Chase will actually succeed with this campaign is determined by whether or not they're prepared to live and breathe this internally. What does that have to do with anything we're talking about? I think that there's a lot of things that we could chase when we're chasing what matters. And in fact, we're going to take a look at a clip from Slumdog here real quick that shows us somebody chasing after what matters. Now, just to give you background, the whole movie is told through flashbacks of how Jamal, this uneducated young man, has answered all these questions on this game show. And basically what it boils down to is he's lived them. He doesn't have any education outside of a few years of elementary school, doesn't even know the names of the Three Musketeers. Although, how many of us do? Okay. but anyways, so the first question he is asked is, who is the star of the 1973 hit film Zanjeer? This is why he knows the answer to that question. I love the response of those who knew what was coming. And even better, the response of those who didn't. How many of us would do that? I mean, did you? Okay, now I have to tell you this, because this I thought was really funny. The jumping into the... Okay, in the script, it says that he jumps into a year's worth of human waste. Yeah, right? I mean, how many of us would do that? But he did it. He did it for a scrawl on a piece of paper. Jumped into the waste and then ran across the field, pushing his way through a crowd of people. Who would do that? But in that moment, that's what mattered to him. He was chasing what matters. So then that begs the question, well, okay, so we can chase what matters, right? And let's face it, there's a lot of things we can chase. Yeah, there's money, there's career, there's family, fortune. But I think the better thing to do is chase what matters most. And if we're Christians, we ask the question, well, how do we know what matters most? And I think the Bible gives us a pretty clear indication. In Galatians 6, it says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Chasing what matters most. But how do we find the time to have this opportunity that the Bible passage calls for? Where do we find the opportunity? Because let's be honest, again, there's a lot of things in this world that take up our time. We've got, you know, again, spouses, children, getting them to soccer practice, getting them to choir practice. We got church work. We got this. We got that. We got a lot of stuff we can do. And in fact, the Bureau of Labor Statistics did a time use survey of Americans. And here's the way the average American's day looks like. 8.57 hours of sleep. Who's getting that? I don't get that. 0.67 hours of grooming. I know, some of us more than others. I get it. 1.11 hours of eating and drinking, 0.64 hours of housework, 0.52 hours of food prep and cleanup, 0.21 hours of lawn care, 0.09 hours of pet maintenance, 0.78 hours purchasing goods and services, 0.53 hours caring for and helping household members, 5.11 hours of leisure and sports, including 2.62 hours of television. Who watched the game last night? Yeah, 3 hours right there. 3.47 hours of work, 0.16 hours of volunteer work and other things, 0.15 hours devoted to spiritual life. Now let that sink in for just a moment. We spend more time on our lawns than we do our spiritual life. And, you know, if you go back to the passage where it says, you know, you'll harvest what you plant, right? And so if you're planting in your garden, in your lawn, you'll harvest that. If you're planting in your spiritual life, you'll harvest that. So they say to us that time is money. You've heard that phrase, right? Time is money. And in a day, we get 24 hours of time. That's all we get. So by my rationale, I would say that time is probably our most precious commodity. That's all we get, is that 24 hours a day. What you do with it, how you spend it, makes a difference. My Spanish teacher had a sign up on her wall that said this: "Does it make any difference if you put the emphasis on the wrong syllable?" I loved it when she said that too, because you just laugh. Does it make any difference if you put the emphasis on the wrong syllable? Well, of course it does. In language, where you put the emphasis makes a difference. It can change the meaning of things. When Kylie and I were traveling through Asia a few years back, we were warned about trying to use the language. They use Mandarin, and in Mandarin, there's a lot of different characters that have kind of the same sound. And the way they differentiate them is by tones, the tone of the voice that they use when they say the word. There's only four tones that they use. So, for example, ma, M-A, could be ma, or ma, or ma. Yeah, it's minute, right? The small changes. But the small changes make a big difference. That word ma, it can mean mother. That word ma can also mean horse. I don't want to walk into the room with Kylie and her parents and introduce you all to my horse-in-law. That would be a little embarrassing. But it makes a difference where you put the emphasis. So, where is our emphasis? What are we putting our emphasis on? Again, going back to the Bible, it gives us a good place to put our emphasis. Matthew 6, it says, "Don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars." It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Stockpile treasures in heaven. And we've heard that 100 times. And I got to tell you this, too. This is kind of interesting. In the scene we watched earlier from Slumdog, at the end, when he's got the picture and he's holding it up high and he's so jubilant, right? And we all kind of share that moment and we're so happy he got it. The very next scene, it's stolen. Yeah, years worth of human waste, and it's stolen. So things get stolen. Things leave us. So time is all we have that we can really spend that has any lasting value. And if time is our most treasured resource and the current statistics are right, the thing that matters most to Americans, sleeping, working, watching TV. How messed up is that? That's where we're spending our time. So let's go back to Slumdog for just a moment. And we saw earlier Jamal's jumping in to get the whole little autograph. Now we're at a point in the movie, it's kind of late in the movie, and throughout the movie we've seen how he answers all these questions. And this is the very last question, okay? Now, I got to tell you, first of all, the whole reason that he even went on this game show, he went on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, wasn't for the money. He didn't care about that. He was trying to find the love of his life, Latika. And that was the only way he knew he could find her. They lived in Mumbai, which is a city of about 19 million people. And he had no cell phone. He had no education. The only thing he could think of was, I know she watches this TV show. Maybe if I can get on for just a moment, she'll see me and she'll find me and we can reconnect. Well, amazingly, he's beaten the odds and he's gotten through to the final question. And he has a choice now. He can take the money that he's made to this point, which is 10 million rupees, which is about $200,000, which is not a bad sum of money at all. He can take that money and walk out the door and be pretty happy. Or he can try to take the next question on, try to eke out a few more minutes of airtime to try to find Latika, and in the process, risk everything he's made up to this point. Let's take a look at what he does. Ooh, what happens? I'll let you go watch the movie to find out. I love what the host says. You know, you're going to risk it all. if you play. Yeah, I told you earlier, he doesn't know the name of the third musketeer. You know, that was made very clear throughout the movie. But he's willing to risk it all for love. How many of us do that? Do we do that? Should we do that? Again, I'm going to go back to the Bible. We're in church. It makes sense. Jesus was once asked, what's the most important commandment? Basically, Master, we got a lot of laws. We got things we're supposed to be doing. What's the most important thing we should be doing? Here's what Jesus said. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Love God, love others. That's the most important thing. That's chasing what matters most. You see, God is all about relationships. From the very beginning, he's been about relationships. In fact, he is relationship, if you think about it. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all working together. Relationship. And I think that relationships can only be made through spending time with people, you know, really getting to know them. And sometimes we don't do that. How many of you have heard of Sodom and Gomorrah? And, you know, for those of you who haven't heard, I'll just do a quick recap. Basically, Sodom was this really evil town that God said, you know what, I'm tired of you, I'm through with you, I'm wiping you off the face of the earth. That's pretty heavy stuff right there. Why was God so mad at Sodom? What was it that they did that was so awful that he wanted to wipe them off the face of the earth? Sodom's sin was this. If you read in Ezekiel 16:49-50, the sin of your Sodom was this. She lived with her daughters in the lap of luxury, proud, gluttonous, and lazy. They ignored the oppressed and the poor. They put on airs and lived obscene lives. And you know what happened? I did away with them. They ignored the oppressed and the poor. If God is about love and loving others, and he was really mad at Sodom for ignoring people, maybe that ignoring is a little closer to hatred. You know, at least when you're beating somebody or being mad at them, you're at least showing them some attention. But when you're just ignoring them, they don't even exist. And that's not what God's about. You know, even in our, let me ask you this. Who knows what our church's mission statement is? Okay. Is that the whole thing? What is it? Love God, love others, live out loud. That's our church's mission statement. That's why we're here. Earlier I talked about Chase, and they put all this money into putting out their message, right? And they were told, you know, maybe you should actually do something about it. Same thing with us. We put out this message, love God, love others, live out loud. That's what we need to be doing, and that's what we need to be breathing and living internally. And we're doing it. All that stuff you guys did at Collide, that was loving. That was loving God, loving others, living out loud. And the beautiful thing is that we don't all have to love in the same way. The way you love doesn't have to be the way you love and the way you love. We can love in different ways. God has gifted us to do that, which is why with the Collide event, and for those of you who don't know, the Collide event, there were three different events. You could plant an herb garden. You could help people at CCA get clothes and school supplies, or you could help out at Bounce U raising money for Bees Kids and signing up kids for our Vacation Bible School. It's not Vacation Bible School, Adventure Club, sorry. That's why we offer those things, though. So you have that chance. You have that opportunity to love the way God has gifted you. And, you know, it does work. It works in immense ways. Some of you may remember our Christmas event that we did last year. I love this event. This made me so happy. Basically, once again, for those of you who don't know, we've identified 8 families through CCA. And we decided that we're going to go visit and share Christmas with them. That's what we want to do, share Christmas with them. And these were families that were needy, that were kind of without hope, and that might get passed over by various other things. So we met here on Sunday morning. We broke up into 8 teams, spread across the city, met these different families. Some of you had questions. Oh, what do we do when we get there? I don't know. Well, should we sing songs? Sure, go for it. Should we pray with them? Why not? Do we need to read the Christmas story? If you want to. The point was not about what you did. The point was about sharing time with those families and loving them and bringing them hope. And you did it. You did it amazingly. So much so that 2 of those families actually came and joined us for a little while. You guys may remember most, right? They've left us now. In fact, the last one just left yesterday. But when we went to their doors, they didn't have hope. When we left their doors, they did have hope. They came here, they joined us for a while, and they said that what we shared with them was some of the most impactful moments they'd ever experienced in their lives. How amazing is that? It's because of the love you guys shared with them. Now they're on to better places. You've changed the trajectory of their lives. Think about that for a moment. The trajectory of their lives. So, I want to issue a challenge. Today, when you leave here, I want you to think about this. Think about, where can I find the opportunity to show love to people? Where can I find the opportunity to share my life with others? Some of you, you know, and you'll come up with ideas across the week. Some of you may want to do this right now. You know, don't get me wrong. I understand. I come in here Sunday mornings, and it's crazy, and we've all done this, where you come in at the last minute, and you leave as soon as those doors open up. It happens. Some of you come in here, and you never say hi to anybody new. I've done that. I'm, you know, probably the biggest, you know, guiltiest sinner for that one. So let me challenge you. If you want to go a little step deeper, you want to make a change right now, find somebody new today. There's a couple of new people here, or maybe just somebody you've never spent time with. Find that person and maybe go out to lunch with them. You know? And I know some of you are going to say, but David, I got things to do. I got places to be. I get it. And that's okay. That's absolutely fine. You're chasing what matters. The question becomes, are you chasing what matters most? See, time is important. Time, 24 hours, that's all we get. Earlier, Bill, I borrowed your $50 bill. It was a 20. Oh, sorry. Your $20 bill. No, I borrowed your $100 bill. And what happened? Burned up, right? How many of us feel that way? At the end of the day, after I've done everything I'm supposed to be doing, all my time's gone, I got nothing left, right? And then what happened? I gave you your dollar bill back, right? How many of us feel that way? At the end of a day, all I have left is this little bitty sliver. I'm going to keep it for myself. Are you chasing what matters most? Can I see that dollar bill? He's not trusting me now. Thanks. Now, here's the interesting thing I want to show you guys. America, and you can only do this really with American money. American money is all green, all kind of looks the same. And if you fold it up, you have no idea what the denomination is, right? If you fold it up the right way, you can't tell from where you're sitting if this is a 5, if it's a 10, if it's a 20, if it's a 100. You don't know what this is until you open it up, until you look at that time that you have. And maybe what you thought was just a dollar is $100. Maybe it's a little more than you thought it was at the time. Okay. So that's the thing. Chase what matters most. Look for those opportunities that you can share love with others, loving God, loving others. So I have given you a challenge, and I want to encourage you to chase what matters most. Loving God, loving others, and doing it in a way that God has gifted you to do. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time here today. I thank you for the people who have gathered to sit and listen to me ramble on for a few minutes. And I just pray, Lord, that as we leave from this place, we will remember to focus on what matters most, loving you and loving others. It's not one or the other, it's both and. And I just pray that that's what we focus on. That's what we leave here today thinking about, praying about. And just thank you for the beautiful weather out there. I thank you for the band that's getting ready to lead us in some amazing worship and the way you've gifted them. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been the Crosspoint Sermon Audio from Carrollton, Texas. For more information about our church, visit www.crosspoint.com.